You were made to be brave. You were born to make a difference. God designed you for heart-pumping, joy-filled adventure. And we're here to guide you to that adventurous life. Crossroads Church.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Crossroads. My name is Hannah Shepherd. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. So excited to celebrate you guys. I know I'm gonna be celebrating my dad. I'm gonna get him an easy bake oven, just what he's been wanting, and I cannot wait. Crossroads is a place that was made for you every step of your journey, whether that's just exploring God or maybe you're already in relationship with him. And if you are in a relationship with God, we're gonna be taking communion today. And that's just to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So I want you to be ready for that. So go ahead now and grab something to eat and something to drink. I've got some Ritz crackers and some Sprite. And so if that's your story, that'll work. Today, we're in our last week of the Anchored series where Brian is gonna talk to us about the last part of the Apostles' Creed, the church.
In the second and third century, just like today, there were a lot of opinions on what it meant to believe in Jesus. His followers knew this was a problem, so they worked together to write formal statements about what those non-negotiable beliefs were. They called those statements creeds, and one of the most well-known and enduring is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For over 1,700 plus years, these are the truths that Christians have anchored themselves to.
I'm in right now, Crossroads Uptown, one of the places we meet physically when we can. And a lot of people have always loved this building. I have not. In fact, I've really never loved any church building. Whenever I'm in a church building, it oogies me out. I've gotten a little bit better today, but man, initially, it just really, why is that? Because I got a lot of bad memories in churchy buildings. When I was a little kid, I would sit in the very front row in the middle while my mom played the organ, my dad sang in the choir, and we'd open up our hymnals, which I thought they were known as hymnals, because everyone would always hum. No one's really into singing. And I would just hum my way along, and partly I was humming because I couldn't even read. I would have the hymnal actually upside down. And I would read, and I just never got it. I never connected. So church buildings really turned me off. When it comes to church, whether it is a building or whether a church is a collection of people, it bothers me. As I got older, I would walk further and further back into the church to get away from the front. And I wish someone had told me about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and following, that says this. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. As I was in the midst of all of these people, I was actually in the midst of Ephesians 2, a bunch of different people with different backgrounds and some different viewpoints gathering together. I never really understood the Holy Catholic Church communion of the saints line that is in the Apostles' Creed. Now, I wasn't Catholic, or specifically Roman Catholic, as many of my friends were. And I thought that was a problem when we used to recite this creed, one holy Catholic church. Catholic here doesn't mean Roman Catholic. Catholic means all-embracing. The early followers understood that they were going to have differences in minor doctrines. They were going to have differences in how they prefer to worship. But regardless of their personal preferences on some secondary issues, and what is a secondary issue? Virtually anything that's not in the Apostles' Creed. These were the things that we were supposed to be anchored to, not a lot of petty things that Christians have fought with each other for generation after generation. Maybe that's why the bumper sticker exists, Lord Jesus, save me from your followers. We're just a bunch of cantankerous people, many of us, who just get all anal and all up in a tizzy over things that believers have differed with. I'll tell you what, the family of God is a lot wider and a lot bigger than a lot of Christians believe. And if you notice from Ephesians chapter 2, it's not talking about buildings. Jesus himself is the cornerstone. He is what's central. He is the one we're built on, not our worship preferences, not how we engage the political sphere. It is him. He is central. And then all of these different people are being placed together to form a church, not a building, to form a communion of saints. I wish someone had told me that, but they didn't. And so as I would age, I would get more and more cynical, going further and further into the back of the church. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, it says this, that Jesus says to his disciple Peter, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus asked Peter and the other disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter says, "I say you're the Christ. I say you're the Savior we've been waiting for." He gives this foundational statement that Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the pivotal being for all of humanity and all of the truth of God. And when Peter says this, Jesus tells him that he is going to be foundational, that this testimony is going to be the foundational statement upon which the church is built. When I was in the back of my parents' church, I didn't understand these things. I thought this was the church. I thought this was the representation of the vibrancy of God, in which case God wasn't very vibrant. I came to the conclusion that if this is what God is about, A, God doesn't exist, or I don't really want to be on the God page. Right around that time, yes, I'm dating myself, the song Highway to Hell by AC/DC. God bless America, AC/DC, right? I'm on the highway to hell, and me and my friends would just fist pump that song. And it was, when I would sing that song and fist pump it, it was more so an anthem against this. Like, this somberness, this lifelessness is not something I want to be a part of. I remember looking at a guy, he was in his 50s, he was a bit overweight, right over this way, and he was falling asleep in the service. And I remember thinking to myself, dude, what are you here for? I'm only here because I have to be here. You obviously don't want to be here, and yet you're here. Why? I don't understand, because no, there's no life here that I want to be involved in whatsoever. This fueled this cynicism that I had to church, the churches. I had to realize, man, if I'm cynical about the church, the Holy Catholic Church, embracing that God is doing different things in different people, that we all come together being formed into a building, that's what Ephesians 2 talks about. By the way, we read that before, that the Holy Spirit is coming not to fill a building, but God's Spirit resides in people who have received Jesus. And specifically, not just you as an individual, though the Holy Spirit can reside in you as an individual, but the context of that passage in Ephesians 2 says, God's Spirit comes when there is a collection of people who say Jesus is the cornerstone, he is central. When there are people who are coming together, there is a church that has power. If you want the power of God, you're going to have to be pro-church. You got to get away from your negativity and cynicism around the church. If you don't like the church, then you don't like Jesus, because Jesus is about the church. He's about a collection of people. And when I find people who are negative on the church, I also find somebody who really is lacking a spiritual power. Maybe great arguments but lacking a spiritual power. The church is the greatest thing God has ever created. The Bible says Jesus has come and died for the church. He loved the church so much that he has died for her. That's another verse in the book of Ephesians. Friends, we've got to have a great attitude about the church, about the communion of saints, about the holy Catholic Church. Different languages, different worship preferences. We got to have a good attitude about it because that's who Jesus died for, and that's the group of people that he's uniquely pouring his spirit into. Pouring his spirit into for what purpose? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next.
I'm so glad Brian talks about how Jesus died for the church. And that does not mean a building. That means you and me. And so that's why I'm excited that our church is having an impact, even when our buildings are closed. And now more than ever, our friends and neighbors need the church. For those of us who are part of the church or Crossroads, we tithe, and just to be obedient to God, but more than anything, to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And you can do that right now as well. You can go to crossroads.net/give or text crossroads to 313131. Next, we're going to see a video about how we, Crossroads, the church, is making an impact in our communities. But you know what? You don't have to just see these videos on our weekend. You can also catch this on our social media by following the information at the bottom of your screen. Get some good news and some encouragement in your feed this week.
Hola, mi nombre es Víctor Martínez. Soy parte del equipo de trabajo de Crossroads Church y hoy me encuentro con la doctora Almaraz.
Sí, yo soy la, hola, soy doctora Almaraz. Yo soy una doctora de medicina familiar y trabajo aquí en Cincinnati en la parte oeste.
Y hoy estamos celebrando que como comunidad, en alianza con la organización So Mask for Cincy, hemos recaudado sobre 20,000 mascarillas que han sido distribuidas a través de profesionales médicos en la ciudad y también a profesionales al cuidado de envejecientes. Pero en el mes de junio, So Mask for Cincy y Crossroads han decidido que las máscaras que sean donadas durante ese tiempo van a ser hechas disponibles para personas de la comunidad afroamericana e hispana, específicamente porque el número de casos de COVID-19 ha sido desproporcionalmente alta en esas comunidades. Así que los invitamos a que busquen más información en crossroads.net/mask. Ahí puede aprender cómo puede ser parte de este esfuerzo. Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias, doctora.
Gracias a ustedes.
Oh, the smell of the locker room, the musky testosterone has been seeking from masculine pores. Maybe it's the same in a female locker room, although it would be estrogen seeping. I don't know, I've never been in a female locker room, but there's something about locker rooms. It's because it's a place where something's happening. It's a place of preparation for something to happen. It's a place where people have come together to bond together, to do something together. That's what a church should be. The church is the place where the identity of Jesus should be anchored. A church is a place where people should understand the attributes of Jesus because there is a team that is there together. I think part of why I've never connected with church buildings is because the church building isn't as inspiring to me as a locker room. Because when you're in a locker room, you're in a place where people are doing things. They're resting from having done something. They're getting strategy. They're getting each other fired up. My most inspiring times as a human being, oftentimes we're in a locker room in high school. And I've just always wondered, why can't we be that inspired when we're in church? It's probably because we're not really clear in church what we're there for. Are we there as the church to sing? Are we there as a church to learn? And I'm all for singing and I'm all for learning. But the church is about moving. That passage we looked at before in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus tells Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the next part is, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates are defensive instruments. They're not offensive instruments. When I was less mature in my understanding of the church, I used to think that I needed to go to church to get away from all the bad things that are happening outside these walls. I've got to get in my little holy huddle and I've got to escape to get spiritual. And I am up for escaping to get spiritual and getting away from things that happen in the world. There's something about that with the church. But really, the church is an offensive instrument. The gates of hell are defensive. What Jesus was saying is, Peter, you're going to be a part of a movement where people will be coming together and moving and bashing down and overthrowing gates and systems that are happening in our world that are not the way of God. When a church is at its best, it comes together in a locker room environment, whatever the church building may look like or whatever the house may look like, where all different kinds of believers are together, and we say, folks, are we really clear on who we are? Are we really clear on what we're here to do? Because we are going to do that. We are going to go out and bless this world and bring the name of Jesus to this world. That's why it's so important for us to remind ourselves of that here at Crossroads and to show stories of people who are making masks or being generous or banding together to help kids or being a church that speaks to, hey, we have a race problem in our country. We need to try to fix that and get people together. There's got to be plays. There's got to be a strategy to us versus my strategy is to live my life and do whatever I want and then evacuate to a church building and get my church on. No, you get your church on when you get on a team and you get engaged in the world. This is the call of Christ. And if you're anti-church, anti-church involvement, guess what? You're anti-Jesus. You're anti being on the team of Jesus. That's what we mean when we say that we are the hands of Christ, that we're the feet of Christ, we're the eyes of Christ. It actually comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this long diatribe on us being a body that moves. Here's what one section says. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are a body, and we are one, and we are meant to move. That's what a body does. It moves, it sees, it does, it retreats and rests and sleeps, but we're put together to be able to move someplace and do something. Every church is going to look a little different because every church, every gathering of believers has got a few different things that they believe. Every church has got a few different focus areas that maybe another church doesn't, and that's okay. God doesn't want and need all churches to be the same. We need to be one even if we're not gathering together all the time. Every person inside of the team of Jesus, which is the church, has different abilities, different skills, different aptitudes. All of these positions up here have different sizes, have different speed levels. You got the heavyweights, you got the fleet of foot, all of them are needed to come together in a winning team. And this is the way it is in the church. Maybe the reason why the world isn't progressing as much as we'd like to, it isn't getting more healthy, it isn't getting more loving, it isn't getting more whatever, might be because you're on the sidelines. It might be because you've been duped by our enemy who we're in engagement with. You've been duped by your enemy to think that I'm just supposed to go to church and agree with what's there or disagree and have some spiritual... No, you're not. No, you're not. So you're supposed to go to church. To church so you can be the church and engage our world to be part of offense, pushing back the hellish things that are in our world. You start doing that, we start doing that, and people start getting more interested in Jesus. It's good to be on a team. It's good to be in a locker room, and it's good for the church to gather in buildings, to get clear on the mission and to restore ourselves because we are a body that's moving. And one of the things we do when we gather is we partake of the body of Christ. It's known as communion. Let's go back to our church building and do that right now. So today we've tried to get anchored in the ancient belief that there is one holy Catholic Church and a communion of saints. One holy Catholic Church, God's people are in different places, in different parts of the world with different preferences, but we are one. It's for everyone who sees Jesus as the cornerstone. He is building a building with us together, and we are to be together. We are to commune with one another. It says in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, we're going to actually take communion right now. It roots us, it anchors us in what makes us different, those of us who are on Jesus' downline. When he instituted communion, he took the bread and he broke it and he says, this bread signifies my body that is broken for you. And you gather together, take and eat of my body. The body of Christ, broken for you. He then took the wine and he poured it out and he said, this wine represents my blood that is poured out for you, spilled for you, so that you don't have to work off your own trespasses. I've worked it off for you. And he says, when you gather together, when you commune together, take and drink of my blood, the blood of Christ shed for you. Take, drink. When people come together, anchored and rooted in him being the cornerstone of a building of people being fit together, and when we see ourselves not as a stable structure, but as a living, moving, breathing team, a group of people that is meant to offensively change and bless the world because we are anchored in him. When that happens, friends, the world starts to change. Our world needs some changing. And the work of Christ needs to go on. It's going to go on through you and I and other universal people in the church of Jesus Christ. Let's be a team. Let's be offensive. And let's be a blessing this week. One of the things we can do is go on offense and sing these words to God. We're going to do that right now. These are ancient hymns. And let's not try to hum these hymns. Let's sing it like we mean it. To the very God who gives us life.
God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And deep in unsearchable minds of never failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. And ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread, I'll be with mercy and shall break in blessings, in blessings, in blessings on your head.
To hear more Crossroads music, you can text MUSIC to 313131. Another way to stay anchored throughout the week is by processing the weekly teaching with other people. You can download the weekend follow-up guide in the Crossroads app or download the app at crossroads.net/anchored. You can bring this message of hope to more of your friends and neighbors at crossroads.net/give or text Crossroads to 313131. This series, we learned a lot about the core of our faith, but like Brian talked about, it doesn't stop there. We can live the adventurous life and put that faith into action. That's the next series, and I want you to take a look right now. See you next time.
A life with God doesn't have to be boring. You were made for adventure. It can be a heart-pounding life of purpose. Join us every weekend for 30 minutes of challenge, hope, and encouragement to guide you on your spiritual adventure.